the starting lineup for your
Gangsters. What's up, guys?
Are you a slacker?
Envy.
I'm not going to debate you, Jerry.
God bless the internet.
What the hell's going on out here?
No, fuck it.
Hello and welcome to Flicking and Screaming. I am Jed Sprague, here with both of my co-hosts, back again in the new year, Evan Fagundes.
Hello.
And JT Chipman.
Hi, everyone.
And this week, in the spirit of the new year and fresh starts, we're going to be talking about our 2023 resolutions. But before we get into that, gentlemen, how are we doing? Evan, it's great to be back with you on the pod, man. It's been a long time.
I'm incredibly happy to be back. Chip and I were just saying when we hopped on the recording, I feel like it's been a long time. It's overdue. I had a nice time being off and went on a little vacation and stuff, but I'm happy to be back talking about some movies. I feel like there's a lot for us to talk about right now.
Yeah, a lot to dig into. Chip, how are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Didn't really get like a international vacation like some of our co-hosts. Is beautiful Instagrams though. Really great work there, Evan. I was a little bit jealous, but I'm just cold, you know, just kind of suffering through the winter. There's no holidays to look forward to now with the cold, so now I just kind of have to suffer through. But I get to hop on a Zoom call with you guys, so I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
What's the latest with you, Jed?
Latest is I'm also cold. It's been like biblical levels of snow in Reno, like historical, never before seen levels of consistent snow. So yeah, I have to admit I was pretty jealous of Evan. But I have been watching a few tropical movies just to try to like distract myself. Also the beginning of PGA Tour golf season always kicks off in Hawaii. So I've been, you know, transported to tropical areas, even though I'm freezing my ass off. In my house. But that's the beginning of every year, freezing my ass off in my house, trying to think about what I want the year to be, where do I want to travel, what do I want to accomplish. And I think that segues perfectly into our 2023 goals and resolutions pod. Last year, we did this, and we kind of narrowed it to movie resolutions. How do we do on those, guys? How do we do on our movie resolutions? Good?
My resolution is to avoid accountability this year, Jed, so I'd like to skip this conversation.
Yeah, I had to go listen back to remember what all my resolutions are. That's how bad I was at following along. And first and foremost, I think it should be both of your resolutions to not let me talk about Cars 2 for 15 minutes on this year's podcast. Like, I kept
Did you do that last year? Because I don't remember this.
I kept waiting for it to end. And it was kind of miserable. Like, I was like, oh, God, we talked about it for way too long. But c'est la vie. So this year, we decided, in the spirit of, you know, not only actually holding ourselves more accountable, but, you know, open, honest discussion with ourselves and with our listeners, we're going to talk about just kind of our life goals. There are going to be some movie ones in there, of course, but also just like, what do we want to do as people in 2023? And so I'm excited to dive in and talk about it. I haven't made goals in a long time, and I don't know, I felt empowered to do so this year. So gentlemen, before we dive in, unless you have any general thoughts on goals.
I think that Evan actually needs to form a Cars goal for himself, because I drafted all three Cars movies in our Pixar draft. Jed had his 15-minute Cars 2 monologue. I feel like Evan needs some sort of solidarity with the Cars franchise. I don't know if it's whether he gets like a Cars 3 Finn McMissile tattoo or what he can do to establish his ground in that franchise.
Anytime you want 20 minutes on a car, I can give you 20 minutes on my car. But that's probably all I can contribute.
That is true. You do have a good 20 minutes of recent car stories.
Oh.
I'm talking Owen Wilson, though, man. Like, maybe you've got some deep dive there that you want to go into.
Yeah, right. I can formulate something. I mean, we've gotten so much Cars content out of this podcast.
Always looking.
We got to believe.
Some might say too much. Some might say not enough. All right. Before we get into reviewing our resolutions quickly, I don't know why I made this a tradition, but I will be reading off a couple of haikus that I wrote to summarize this last year, you know, some in movies, some in life. I've got three, you know, this year. I had two last year for 2022, three for 2023. So number one, no more Encanto. Please, Charlie, I am begging. Die, Lin-Manuel, die.
Wow. You're a poor soul. You're a brave soul. You're a good man and you're a good father. But it's okay to let that out here. Let that anger out that you've been building up inside you.
Okay. Second one. Glenn Powell, Tom Cruise, Paul Dano in Riddler shoes, Big Jim cannot lose.
Mm.
One is kind of
That's a little bit more kind-hearted.
Yeah, it is.
That was a little more kind-hearted. Well, we're going to end on a really kind-hearted one.
The canon of dudes from last year.
Yeah, the dudes. That was like the dudes rock. Maybe that will be the official title. Okay, the third and final one. Why, yes, Chip is real. Don't despair, friends on the web. Your day might come soon.
from the summit.
Yeah, we got to meet Chip. Chip exists in real life. It was like
a shocking time, man.
Genuinely a shocking experience.
But. All right, so we boated past the Godfather 2 house together on Lake Tahoe, and I watched yes. Godfather 2 for the first time last week since we had boated past, and I mean, you can tell. Like, I could identify, like, the dock, right? And I could identify, like, this kind of fencing structure near there, and I was like, wow, I've seen that.
Amazing.
It kind of hasn't changed. It's kind of just remained the same compound.
Yeah, I think that was, for me, the highlight of one of the highlights, big highlights of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so fun to do the Mardi Pod in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that kind of leads perfectly into our resolutions for last year and how we did. I'm going to run through, like, I think quickly, just be like, what was it, fail or pass? I have one pass on here.
There you go.
Okay, I said I wanted to watch every Hitchcock fail. I don't think I watched a single Hitchcock movie this year. It's completely on me. I said I wanted to tighten up my letterboxed. Fucking fail. Big time fail, because I went to get my end of year stats and it was like, you vlogged 12 movies, and I'm like, ooh, cool. Definitely watch more than that. I wanted to start my DVD collection. Fucking fail. I don't own a single DVD. I wanted to take Char to her first movie. Fail. In hindsight, this was super ambitious and it was never gonna happen. Yeah. I said that, oh, she's like has a long attention span for a baby. Yeah, guess what? It peaked and then it's just gone downhill from there. And then the only one I passed on, my number one goal. I wanted to do a live fucking podcast.
Yeah.
And guess what? We rocked them, baby. We absolutely rocked them. However, my caveat, nice.
That's the
my
one caveat you want goal, those.
We're going to do a 12-hour Lord of the Rings marathon podcast in person. So I didn't convince you of that. So it was like a pass-fail situation. That was mine.
Evan, I think the teacher will show some leniency on that grade.
What were your goals, Evan?
Yeah, great stuff. I also didn't follow through on a ton of them. So, I had a goal of watching 200 movies last year. I watched 191, so I got close. Yeah, I got close. I had a goal of watching all the Fellini movies, and I'm pretty sure I only watched one, which is pretty brutal. I had a goal of watching all the MCU movies. That also did not happen.
That's okay.
But more for choice than anything. I got like four or five in and watched a couple more after that, but just I couldn't do the like 28 straight or anything like that. I had a goal. Shoot, did I hit any of my goals? I had a goal to write something. I was like 15 days late on that. But pretty much got there. And shoot, that's all I can remember. I feel like there was another one that I maybe actually did, but I'm not positive.
That's all right. I feel like you have a win there, and then, I don't know, 191 out of 200. I don't know what percentage that is, but you were like 95% of the way.
Yeah, I feel that's, good about that.
191 is a fucking, that's a lot of movies. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I've probably watched Encanto 191 times.
191 episodes of Bluey?
Oh, actually. I'm going to start doing some math. Should I do have a question. I was thinking about this today because I've been trying to be better this year about logging what I watch on my letterbox. Should I log every rewatch of like every Disney movie that I do?
Yeah,
with
absolutely.
Like, if I sit down to watch Strange World for the fifth time in 5 days, which I don't know why she loves it, but I'm, you know, fire me up. Do I log every five?
Yeah. That's the data point that we need.
Okay.
If you all watch more than like 2/3 of it, then it counts.
Yeah. It's always we start together. She gets distracted. I get locked in. That's kind of how it goes. Chip, what about your five?
Yeah. I was just in the favor of logging your rewatches. Like I logged like Hail Caesar 3 times last year. So I feel like it's fun to keep track of those and see that at the end of the year. But all right. I wanted to hit 365 movies. Didn't hit it. I think I had like 250 or something. So, you know, not bad. Awesome. I wanted 20 different countries. Not even close. I wanted to watch the complete filmographies of 5 different directors. Jane Campion, Stanley Kubrick, Fellini, Thomas Vinterberg, Claire Denis. Just... I'm gonna move on. I wanted to, and I think I kind of met these. I wanted to read more film writing and like essays on like criticism specifically, which I think I did like a little bit of. Like I followed a couple of blogs and a couple of Substacks. Like tried to follow the rabbit trail down Letterboxd to like some serious reviews, and I feel like I did that a little bit. And then I wanted my movie watching to include community. I wanted to keep watching movies with friends. And I feel like I accomplished that, not only with various movie clubs, but also getting to watch, I think, do we watch like 3 or 4 movies together in person? Like, because we watched Bullet Train, mm-hmm. Elvis, we watched like half an hour of American Pie.
We watched Wolf of Wall Street.
We watched Wolf, yeah. So like those really stand out for various reasons. But I think I met that goal. So
how many countries did you hit, Chip?
I'm curious. I can pull it up here.
Yeah, I'm looking at mine. It's more than I would have thought. I hit like 14 countries.
I'm seeing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think 10. So halfway there. And I had a lot more watches than rewatches. I think in past years, my watches and rewatches have been pretty well split. But this year I had 67.9%. First time watches. So basically 2/3 to a third.
Wow.
I feel good about that.
That is really good. Ooh,
that is good.
Wow.
250 is a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of movies. A lot. I love that, Chip.
So this year, expanding out to like general goals, what percentage of them are movie related for you guys?
Movie related. So because one of them is like not movie related, but it is entertainment related. I think that I have 3 that are movie related.
Okay, nice. I like that. All right, I got 2. So, or 2.5, I would say.
Most of mine. I may have forgotten the prompt a little bit, so I'm more going to be coming up with some life ones. But
hey, man, you're also just a movie guy. Like, you watch... I just feel like you have a finger on the pulse of movie society. Like, I love to proclaim to be a movie guy, and like I do technically watch a lot of movies, as we discussed, a lot of Disney movies and stuff, but like you are like, oh, this is out, boom, I'm there, I'm fucking at the theater, I'm a coastal elite who has access to things like immediately. Oh, Glass Onion, yeah, I saw it during its week run. that's you, that's who you are.
Can I just real quick on that note just give a shout out to Evan for your top 50 of the year that you posted on our website of flickingandscreaming.com, which is website. But yes, that was, I mean, you were on it for the 2022 releases, and you crushed that post.
Yeah, in case no one has the context, Evan did the first blog in the history, the one we've been like promising since the website was finished. Mm-hmm. It is his top 50 movies of 2022 that he ranked, and I think for the top 11 he did a little write up on each of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was inspirational. I might have like shed a tear just at like I'm so proud that content existed on our website.
Proud pot father. Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. It was really fun to write. I think we got a ton more coming, Jed. I'm still counting on that plane watches blog that you have cooking.
It's been in the oven for long. I mean, it's slow cooking.
It's ready. The edges are a little crisp. But it's gonna taste amazing.
Hey, huge aging your steak.
I definitely like, and I know I keep saying this. The number one blog I need to write is like a guide to movies to watch with your kids.
Yeah,
because like that is like my actual zone of expertise. Like, how do you get by?
Yes,
watching movies with your kids over and over again.
Yes.
I almost need to do, you know what I need to do is like a flow chart. It's like, if your kid likes this movie, try this one. Like, they might be your set.
I need to know what it is like to be going into the fifth viewing of Strange World in like a 3-day span.
It's tough.
I want to be walked through that mindset.
It's tough. But what I've started doing is like doing the mental flow chart with my head. Okay, so if she's into this, right? Okay, we're talking visual style. We're talking music style. You know, subject matter is kind of a moot point. But like, you kind of get a little, you can get there a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, what does she like? So we watched Treasure Planet the other day.
Ooh.
She liked Strange World. So we got to watch Treasure Planet. Banger. Right.
Good
and then
flick.
So Good I'm flick. Like, okay, if we're going to watch this, then maybe we can watch this. So, you know, maybe a flowchart, maybe that's a separate, those are two separate things, but yeah. I could maybe do like a desert island. Like, I've watched Encanto, you know, for the fifth time. Encanto's back, by the way, in a big way. Like, yeah. it was gone for like 6 straight months and I was fired up and, yeah, we're back in the fires.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I would like to, one last thing, and then I'd love for us to move on. Huge shout out to Chip as well for a great edit, and huge shout out to my partner Emily as well for another great edit. So I was made, what is it, legible?
Yeah.
You were, it was very legible. It was very legible. I told Evan I really just wanted to change the order to put Elvis higher.
That would have been, yeah, absolutely hysterical.
There was an Elvis talk. There was some Tar talk as well. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into some more of that next week, which yes. I'm excited about.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
You guys ready to talk about our goals for 2023?
Yes.
Yeah.
Chip, kick us off, man. What's your number five?
Oh, man. So, okay. Let's start here. I want to use the updated Sight and Sound top 100 movies of all time as a sort of rubric for watching Ooh. Movies. I try to stay away from really hard goals this year. I'm trying not to hit certain numbers. Like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, maybe I can hit 300 movies. Like, maybe I can do something like that. But really, I just want to use that list as a rubric for watching movies that maybe I haven't heard of, or maybe I really should have watched by now. Both the critics list and the directors list. I want to just consult those, learn from them, you know, see, you know, a lot of the top 10 polls have been published from the critics and directors, who some of them have had some insight into their list. And I want to be able to read that and use that, those lists as a rubric for my education.
Love that.
Any specific critics or directors that come to the top of the mind when you're thinking like, this is somebody whose taste I want to experience?
That's a good question. I don't know any in particular. Like, the Sight and Sound Twitter account likes to retweet a lot of them. They'll have like mm-hmm. Bong Joon-ho put Mad mm-hmm. Max Fury Road on his list and everyone like went nuts. And then like, I think John Carpenter put like a couple of his own movies on there and everyone's like, ah, you Johnny, you doing the thing, you know? So I'm curious for those who do like have a little, like put a little bit of a bit, like a little bit of a shtick in their list. Like, that cracks me up. So
yeah. Didn't Carpenter put like 4 Hawks movies in his or something?
I think that's also accurate. I also am obsessed with the like directors who submitted like 4 movies. Like, you don't get top 10, like just these 4.
They're like, I only like 4 ever.
Yeah,
that's absolutely funny.
And they made like Free Guy. It's like, yeah.
Oh my God.
Ryan Reynolds, savior.
I love that. It's a great goal. Evan, you want to hit with your fifth goal?
Fifth goal.
I mean, it doesn't matter. But
yeah, I got a few. So I'll start off with a director, and it's somebody who I think I will follow through on. It's David Lynch. Guys, it's time. I have to be driving. David Lynch, to me, is like what Green Street Hooligans was to Chip and I for Jed. You know, I feel like it's just something that Chip has been talking to me about for years, and every time I watch a new one of his films, as this year I watched Mulholland Drive for the first time, I'm just like, oh, this is one of the best movies of all time. So it's time that I give him my full attention.
I love that. Are you going to go in like release order? Is that, are you?
You know, I'm almost, normally that's the way I do it. Like when we did the Bond watch through, when we did Scorsese, the Coens, like I like to watch in order. With Lynch, I'm really enjoying bouncing around. So I think I'm almost going to try to randomize it as much as possible and just make sure I hit them all.
You should do that with Twin Peaks as well. Like, start at season 2, episode 12.
I love that. That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I definitely need to include Twin Peaks in there.
if you watch Twin Peaks randomly, I would lose my mind. It would be incredible. Love that. Okay. First goal for me. I'm going to read 6 new books in 2023. 2022 nice. Was the year that I fell back in love with reading. But it was also like a huge journey of rereads, you know, just like revisiting. That was kind of my strategy to get back into the groove was like, I reread all the Harry Potters. I redid Loader. I revisited some, you know, some other old classics, both fiction and nonfiction that I really liked. Devil in the White City was another one. I think I read like probably like, I don't even know, good amount of books, probably definitely over probably close to 20. And so I felt good about that. And I'm going to do some rereads again this year. I just know myself. So I want to do 6 new books. I recently found this Instagram account that I want to shout out. It's book_reviews_kill. It's this guy named Evan. And he is like a maniac and he gives out book recommendations that are awesome. And I stumbled upon him on like Instagram Reels. And it was like, if you liked this series as a kid growing up, try this as like an adult version. And so the first book and first series that I'm going to dive into is called Red Rising. It was his recommendation for if you liked like The Hunger Games, kind of like a future dystopian drama set on Mars. So I'm excited to dive into that. But yeah, 6 new books. Gonna try to expand my mind.
Yeah, I hear a lot about like book talk, you know. So I'm glad that you've kind of found like a specialized, because I think that book talk has become like very commodified right now. So the fact you finding like the specialty Instagram page that you only want to consult is probably a good call.
Yeah, I just got like, it's like when you dip your toe in the water, I find it best to just like listen to one person who seems like they know what they're talking about, because you'll be led on like a very specific path that won't overwhelm you because they have a specific kind of taste. It could be wrong, but I think that's where you got to roll the dice. Just find someone. Yeah. That you dig. You could do that with music and movies as well. But yeah, that's what I got. Evan, we'll snake. You want to, or should I do my next one? We'll snake it.
Sure. Yeah.
Hit us
again.
So then the other kind of like entertainment related one is I'm going to watch 100 different movies this year. 100 different movies. I think it's super attainable. It's like just under 2 a week. And the caveat, 12 of them in theaters. I'm getting to the fucking theaters, boys. I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to see 12 movies in theaters.
That's a good call, because you could even like stack your theater watches towards the end of the year.
Yeah, I honestly probably won't even be that. It'll just be like, I just want to get to the movies once a month, sit by myself with a big old thing of popcorn and watch some movies. So yeah, that's what I got going.
Nice. That's a great one. You know, I'm going to run it back. I really want to hit 200 this year. I think it's just because I just missed it last year that it's stuck in my head. But it just feels like a really good number. I feel like it allows me to see a ton of new movies, which I actually am enjoying doing. Even it's almost like expanding my horizons back to when I was a kid, where I just sort of watched everything, versus curating these like perfect, you know, months where I'm just watching like everyone else's 5-star movies. Like I kind of like being able to, in real time, figure out what a movie means to me or what I thought of it. And 200 allows me to see enough new ones, but also still go back and revisit some of my favorites or catch up, etc. Running it back. Nice. What do you got, Chip?
I'm going to kind of transition off that. I want to really catch up on a lot of the like rom-coms and family/teen comedies of yesteryear that I like missed out on. Like, do y'all remember, like, we did the Kicking and Screaming podcast, and it was like my first time watching it, and y'all were like, what the fuck? I watched Freaky Friday the other week. It was my first time watching it. Like, I've just missed out on so many of those very important foundational movies, and I typically have a really good time with them. And like, maybe they're not curated Criterion classics or whatever, but they're all really fun, and I have a good like 90 minutes and I move on with my day, and then I can make jokes about them and reference them.
Collection, though, they might not be Criterion collection, but they're the Jed Sprague collection. I'm happy to send you the list of what is what movies have been allowed in that hallowed ground.
Please do. If you can send that my way, make it a letterbox list so you can get back on there as well. See,
there you go. But hey, yeah, I've already logged more movies on Letterboxd this year than I did all of last year. So
nice.
We're rocking them this year.
We're making progress.
Love
if
it.
If we're snaking, I guess I've got another one here.
Yes.
I will go. So I'll kind of branch off of movies a little bit. I think I'm going to come back to movies in a second, but I'm going to branch off. I got to watch Mad Men, guys. How the fuck have I not seen one. That is a show that is so up my alley. Yep. I have seen the pilot like 7 times. I have tried, and I think I've made it to like episode 4 a couple times. It's such a good show, and I'm really happy. And then I just can never, for some reason, I don't know if it's poor timing on my part or lack of commitment. I've loved every second of the 3 episodes or maybe 4 that I've seen, but I just need to stick to it and follow through on it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. That's a great one. You know, goodness. I want to save up. I was thinking about this. I want to save up and get like really nice TV and sound system.
Yes.
I have never had that in my house before. Jed, you have a great TV. I know we were all kind of commenting on that a little bit when we were in town.
But I got to turn off the motion smoothing. That's the issue. It's like, I got a great, it's like, you know, you it's like having a Ferrari video. And not knowing how to drive it. It's fucked
up. You
got to
watch the video. Yeah, you got it in neutral.
Because I lost like the remote that came with it a long time ago. So if I want to change the settings, I have to, you know, do it with like the weird power button where it's like you double tap to get into the menu. It's going to take a minute, but I need to get that done.
Yeah.
Well, I consider buying a new TV just to like get rid of the motion system.
That is hilarious. Amazing. But
that's,
yeah.
It's like a reverse life hack. Can't get the menu on your TV figured out? Buy a new one.
It's like truly the like what like that's like the Arrested Development version of like just throw it away, Michael. We'll get a new one.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's it. I feel like I've just my dad has a really nice setup. So in high school, that's honestly how I fell in love with lots of those movies that we talk about: A Knight's Tale, Eagle Eye, these kind of like almost forgotten movies from the 2000s that, if you have the right setup, are just bangers. And it's hard to, like, Pirates of the Caribbean was so seminal to that for me. It's just like, without this insane sound system and stuff, I might not have fallen in love the way that I did.
Yeah. Growing up, for me too, like, my parents in our main living room just decided they wanted to have a projector instead of, like, I remember it was like a party trick when your friends would come over. It's like you'd be like, this is our TV, our family's TV. You like drop the projector. It would like come all the way down. But that like good quality and like, you know, and I think large has something to do with it, like a big screen and or at least like a big screen if you're close. Right. Like my TV is not massive, but you sit close enough to it where you're like, OK, I'm getting like the full picture. That and good sound and your dialed surround sound.
Sound yeah, for sure.
All angles makes a huge difference. That's the one thing I'm missing. I got the bar, but I need to get the surround system.
Yeah.
But I love that goal. It's great. It's going to really enhance your at-home watching. You're going to get desert power from your couch.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Me, right? 2?
Yeah.
Okay. This one is a little bit more of a personal goal. I'm going to do 83 official workouts in 2023. I know it doesn't sound like a lot. Doesn't sound like a lot. But again, similar to the theater thing, finding time to like go to the gym is tough with 2 children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we do like we stay active. You know, we go on a lot of long walks or, you know, and I like to do that like the at home stuff. But I'm talking about like getting my ass to the gym 80 times. Why 83?
I was going to ask. I was like going to try to pull up my calculator and divide.
It's less than twice a week and more than once a week. And it's somewhere in the middle, right? I'm going to go on these little runs where I go, oh, I'm going to go 3 times this week and then a bunch of stuff's going to come up and I'm not going to go at all, right? So I'm like, okay, if I can get to this many. I think it's funny, Chip, you had talked about I'm going anti-quantifiable with your goals. You're like, I'm just going to generally do this. I feel like that's what I've always ever done anytime I set goals. And so I'm making them like super, super quantifiable and like forcing myself to like hit these benchmarks. So I love it. I can't wait to like Q3, not work out at all.
You know, you got
to
get the last five.
The last 83 days of the year. I'm going to be like, every day. And then this one is a rebound from last year that I didn't do, but I'm going to freaking do it. I'm going to take Charlie to her first movie. I don't care how painful it's going to be.
Yes.
Like I'm thinking like very first showing, early like midweek, you know, just like block my schedule, like on my, you know, at work. Hopefully my employer's not listening to this. Just like block my schedule, take the morning off. Like, so there's nobody in theater, just let her friggin' run around crazy. But like, I want to go, like, I want to see if she can feel the magic. Cause you know, like she gets locked in. When she gets locked into a movie, she's in, and you can tell like it's there. You know, the itch could potentially be there, and I want her to just be a fiend, right? Like, so you know,
do you think it's gonna need to be like the latest Pixar joint, or
I was thinking, I mean, Killers of the Flower Moon, maybe Cocaine Bear,
right. Oppenheimer.
I mean, Cocaine IMAX. Bear is what I initially had slated. I was thinking Pixar Elements, I think, is coming out this year.
Yeah.
And so I thought that would be like a good one. Like based on the trailer, it seems like it's got a lot of colors. Like it seems like something that might keep her attention. We'll see. It'll definitely be like some kind of animation, Disney, Illumination, whatever. Just because I think it's a little bit more familiar and predictable. But we just got to get her in, gateway drug. And then, you know, and then I'm home free. Then me and her, we're going to go see Avatar 7 together.
Yeah. There you go. What's your household's relationship with the Minions?
Kind of like with the Minions themselves, not really. Okay. Like we've Despicable Me'd a couple times, but I kind of went through an Illumination kick around the holidays because she loves that new Grinch so much. I was like, oh, maybe she's like this. Maybe
that's right. Same company.
But no, really hasn't connected with anything. Like she's definitely a Disney person mainly. There's a couple of Netflix ones that she's, you know, kind of liked. The other one that's, I think it's Illumination as well, that she really did like was The Bad Guys, and that was actually quality. Or was that DreamWorks? I can't remember, but it was good. Had Rockwell, our boy Rockwell, in it.
Yeah.
Oh, Sammy.
Yeah.
I love how you're like, I have the Minions at arm's length.
Yeah, I don't.
Those guys got to hold off.
My daughter already talks like a Minion, you know, like she talks like that kind of gibberish. So I don't need her. I don't need that like being serious anymore. We're trying to work on real words, not like, ah, papoy, you know, like shit like that.
That was a pretty good. That was a great Minion.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So that's what I got. All right. Is that it? No. No, I think I did two. Yeah. So it'll come back around. All right.
Yeah. So two for me. I want to become what?
I think it's only one for you, right?
Yeah, because we're going snake. So you kind of
I did two. So you get one. I mean, you could do two if you want.
No, only one. But my second. Oh, sorry, number
that's,
two.
That's on me. That's on.
Oh,
me.
Oh yeah. So no, that was unclear. Number two for me. I don't even know why we're numbering them. It's not like I want to become a Colin Farrell completionist, and I'm not sure if that's going to happen in 1 year, but he was so good this last year in 2022, and we're going to talk about that next week more. But he's just so amazing, and like one of my favorite first watches this last year was Miami Vice, and he's so fun in that, and I just feel like there's some movies in there in the late 90s, early 2000s that I just missed from Colin Farrell, and I want to get to them. He's so fun. His last name is my middle name. We're both Irish, which I appreciate. I love his like kind of real life persona. And I want to get there. And it might take a couple of years because I think that guy's been in like a ton of movies.
So per Letterbox, he's been in 64. Now, obviously, this is dicey because you've got like some movies that haven't come out, and then like random like documentaries and other stuff that I don't know if you want to include. And I'm sure there are some that are just not worth your time either. By
the way, speaking of his Globes acceptance speech was just absolutely incredible. When they started trying to play him off and he goes, "You can save that fucking piano," I lost my mind. I mean, he's a king icon legend.
Yeah, agreed.
I love that. That's a great, I feel like that's like so up your alley.
Yeah.
Yeah, love that. All right, Chip, I think you're final two, right?
Yeah, I think I got two left. So I'll go a non-movie one here. Guys, I got to learn how to cook. I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to cook anything. I can do like a grilled cheese. You know, tonight I opened up a can of soup, threw it on the old stove. It was delicious, and then had some cornbread. But I really got to get in the kitchen. I got to learn how to use all the tools I have. I want to break out even stuff like breaking out the crock pot, you know, and just throwing some ingredients in there. Just getting familiar and comfortable, I think, in the kitchen is something that I really need to work on because I've been king of takeout for too long.
you got to start small. I think mm-hmm. your mind's in the right place, like with crock pot meals, right? Something that's easy, just throw all the ingredients, let it do its thing. You know, simple, like pasta dishes as well, you know.
Dude, got the Swedish meatball pasta that I've been working on.
Yeah, I just go down to like the Italian, you know, the Italian route. You'll get a lot of like simple 3-4 ingredient pastas. I mean, you can never go wrong with just like a meat, a vegetable, and a starch. You know, like a potato, potato or rice, and a veggie, and you know, a piece of chicken. Like, get comfortable with temperature, right? That's what you need to do. Like, that's the biggest thing, I would say. I mean, obviously, I cook quite a bit. And you know, it took me a couple of years to like feel like I got like good, and now I'm like trying to push myself to actually like make things that are a little bit more gourmet. But yeah, start simple. That would be my only recommendation. I love that goal though. Somebody's got to cook. Like, you got to have somebody that is like ready to fire it up. And I think you're in a serious relationship. You're ready to be a man. You know, cook for your significant other. That's how I got into it. Is like, you cook for other people, you feel better than just cooking for yourself, because cooking for yourself is not as rewarding.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I am in a good environment where that can happen. It's part of what's killing me though is we don't have any outdoor space right now, so I can't have a grill. I think if I had a grill, I'd be out there like twice a week, three times a week. But we don't have that yet. So maybe that's, and you know, maybe I'm just kicking the can down the road, but I really feel I'd like to even be, I really should be prepared by the time that grill space can come around that I'm comfortable all around, you know?
If you've got a grill and you don't have, like, you don't have the skills to man it, it's already too late. Like, you got to go a little griddle, like indoor griddle, familiarize yourself, you know, with the way of meats, and you're going
to
be happy.
I have friends who have grills. I just need to invite myself over and be like, hey, I'm going to cook tonight at your place.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Love that.
I think I've got one more. Yeah. So I'll bring it back to the world of movies. I want to read more books about movies. Mm. I think last year I talked about like reading like essays and film criticism. This isn't necessarily for like criticism and reviews. This is just books about like the history of movies and about the stars of the movies, like some biographies and some, you know, oral histories. I'm reading one right now called The Big Goodbye by Sam Wasson. And it is about Robert Town, Robert Evans, Jack Nicholson, and Roman Polanski all making Chinatown. And it is phenomenal. It's very well written. It's a pretty unique take on their lives and how they all intersect, how they all come together to create, you know, basically what we acknowledge as a masterpiece. And, you know, their flaws as humans are very apparent on the page, which I appreciate. There's not any shying away from that. But that period of history in general in Los Angeles, and then for it to all come together with this movie, I mean, I'm halfway through and I'm just flying through it. It's awesome. I've got one on my table right now that I haven't started yet, but it's Leave the Gun, Take the Cannolis, and it's the history of the making of The Godfather. So we'll be crushing that one next.
Love it. That's
a great one.
You got a good list, Chip.
That's fantastic.
Well-rounded, you know, a lot of facets of life. Evan.
Yeah.
What's your final, my friend?
Yeah, my final, well, we're going to get a new apartment. So I think a lot of this ties together a little bit. It'll probably be coming sometime around the summer, but really hoping to just, get the nice new setup, get into a good apartment, probably watch more movies with Emily, and just, I don't know, be able to force what my own things onto other people more often. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only goal.
Have a system so epic that your neighbors complain.
There you go.
I remember, like, when I was living in the city, I had to knock on our neighbor's door a couple times because we were trying to watch Game of Thrones, and he was always watching it at the same time and overpowering us because his sound was so loud. So guess what? We ended up just watching it together every Sunday. Like, we didn't do anything else together. It was just like, yo, are we going to watch it? And so, like, you got to be that guy where, like, somebody's knocking on your door, and then they're like, oh, fuck. Miller's Crossing?
Love that. Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah, there you go. Miller's Crossing. Yeah. Nailed it.
It's tough though with the forcing your stuff on other people. Like, there was one night early on in the relationship where we watched Goodfellas and Into the Woods, and it was received poorly by each other. We picked the worst movies possible for the other person, and it was a test. Yeah, one a violent mobster movie and the other a movie starring James Corden.
That's why, yeah, peek behind the curtain. That's why it takes me so long to see movies sometimes, is because like every night I'll be like, propose that. And then she'd be like, no. But then I'll show her, like, I make the mistake of showing her like another movie that's also out. And she'd be like, yeah, that one looks better. You know,
you're like, honey, in this one, a man threatens to cut off his own fingers because his friend doesn't want to be his friend anymore. And yeah, she's like, fucking, yeah, I'll pass.
You know what? She dug that. She was like in on the first trailer for Banshees. It was Tar that was a hard sell for her. Like, she was watching Tar. She's like, I don't feel like I need to see this.
Yeah, the elevator pitch on that one isn't exactly a heater, but it's a great movie.
Yeah, oh, man. We'll get to that next week. All right, cool. Just my final one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. You know, because I'm a man of indulgence. I actually have two, because one is going to be like a standing goal every year. It was a goal last year. But the non-standing goal, I want to kind of actually chip in the spirit of what you're talking about with cooking. I want to take my skills to the next level, and I'm going to take a kitchen knife skills class. Like, I want to be one of those motherfuckers that's chopping an onion, you know, like at the speed of light, like that scene in Ratatouille. You know, my chopping skills are, you know, they leave a lot to be desired. Let's just, I mean, I can get good consistency, but I'm quite slow, and I need to bump that up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a rookie anymore. I got to put in the time, you know, where it's needed. And
I want you to do the thing where you like sharpen the knife on the other knife.
Oh,
yeah. Ooh, like the hibachi type situation.
Yeah. I had a friend, who took one and claimed it was like life changing. For them, and like the way, like, it's so much more fun to cook because you're not, you know, having to worry about chopping everything up and like prepping, because it's such a huge part of cooking, right?
Is
prepping all your ingredients.
Yeah.
And it takes so long when you're shitty with a knife. So I'm
it's good.
I want to do that. And then my standing every year goal, I want to get the boys back together, baby.
Yeah.
Summit 2.0. It's gotta fucking happen. It's gotta happen.
Maybe. Are we changing locales this time?
I believe there's, you know, I'm currently receiving bids. I'm like the IOC right now, the International Olympic Committee. Like, we're receiving bids for locations right now. There's a big bid on my table for San Francisco. You know, there's talk about a joint host with, you know, with the Napa Valley, which could be very interesting. Mm-hmm. Talk of a live podcast at Francis Ford Coppola Winery. You know,
well, we need to support him right now. We need to financially. I don't know if y'all been throwing your weight. I literally bought a bottle. I think you did the same, Jed, or someone else did. Bought a bottle of Coppola wine. And I was like, I am funding Megalopolis.
I stomached a bottle of Coppola's finest.
We have different tastes still, Jed. I'm still catching up to you.
Don't worry, man. You like I said, you got to start somewhere. And I will say, Coppola is like the best. Like, it's not the best, but it's like up in the top tier of like the available at like Target and everywhere wines.
Yeah,
you know, like, if I can't find anything, I will like snag a bottle of Coppola. Just like, but yeah, I'll tell you what, like, that's hangover helper right there. Fucking sugary up some of those bottles. You got to be careful. Yeah, but we got to get the boys back together. We got to do another live in person pod. We're gonna make it happen. And so, you know, more to come on that.
Yes.
Who are we going to draft to that pod? Scorsese's good.
I think we should do either. We should try to see Barbie and Oppenheimer on the same day. We should like try to get together for the Barbie Oppenheimer release.
That would be unbelievable.
It's right time of year. Like, you know, like that's kind of where my head's at. And then we do Barbie versus Oppenheimer pod, and then we do the Nolan ranking pod live.
Yeah. And if we wanted to get really stupid, Mission Impossible comes out the week before that. So we could even like all watch that separate and then pot about it together. Or we watch all three on the same day.
Oh, my Lord.
Many possibilities.
Wow. Wow. We would be exploding.
That's one way to put it. Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm excited for the year to come. All these resolutions. Thank you guys for indulging my goals pod.
I love this pod. I love a Resi's pod.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know it wasn't your first choice, but we have so much exciting things for 2023. But before we do that, next week, we're going to be looking back, not for the last time, but for the last time until probably the Oscars, at our top movies of 2022. So I would highly recommend, as a primer, or as, you know, a post pod companion for next week, go read Evan's blog. Get yourself, familiarize yourself. I would say primer, read it like right now, the minute that you are listening to this, because then you'll be like, oh shit, like I didn't watch Top Gun Maverick. Where I was living under a rock. if you're listening to this pod and you haven't seen Top Gun Maverick, I'm confused. But yeah, we're gonna do our top five of 2022, and I'm really excited about it.
Do we think it'll be like contentious? It'll just be good spirited fun.
I don't know. I think that the biggest mystery for me is Jed's list.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's kind of also, you want to talk about standing goals. There are standing mysteries in life, and that's what Jed's top five will be.
Yeah. I cannot wait.
You know, just me and my terrible taste, like you guys.
No. You have great taste.
No, I'm really struggling, guys. I'm really struggling. Like, there's not a clear number one, and there's not a clear four and five.
So two and three are in the trenches.
Yeah, two and three are, like, locked. Okay. Like, it's so hard. Wow.
Interesting. Really, so you don't have... Wait, it's so like, you don't have a number one, but you know a certain movie is either four or one.
Exactly.
Basically, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's like these movies are either, like, my favorite of the year when I watch them on their day, or I'm like, yeah, they're good, but, like, really best of the year? But then there's, like, the two and three are, like, locks, those are my second and third favorite.
So like you don't feel comfortable giving either of those number one, but you know they need that recognition.
Like there is potential for like a movie to either be a couple movies to either be number one or not make the top five at all. Like we're legitimately reaching. Yeah, it's tough.
If that doesn't sell people on listening next week, I don't know what will.
Yeah, I don't know what will. That's a good way to wrap it, gentlemen. Thank you as always for listening. Flicking and Screaming, Jed Sprague, Evan Fagundes, JT Chipman. Have a good one.
See ya.
Bye, everyone.
And now, the starting lineup for your...
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
I was a slacker.
MVP.
I'm not going to debate you, Jerry.
God bless the internet.